Welcome, friends, to The Hero Beside Me, the podcast that seeks to explore the professional and private lives of working dogs of all kinds. For thousands of years, humans and canines have shared a special bond and an essential partnership, which continues to grow in importance in our society today. Dogs are helping humans in a myriad of ways, performing essential tasks that only they can perform. The more we learn about them, the more endless their potential seems to be. It is my goal to document the way these amazing animals are making an indelible mark on our world with their astonishing abilities, incredible drive, insatiable zest for life, and unconditional love, which they generously bestow upon their humans. Join me as I explore the wonder of these canine heroes beside us. Listeners, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here. Today, we have a very interesting topic for you, and I'm going to be learning right along with you. We're going to be talking to Karen Reynolds, who is co-owner with her husband of a company called Environmental Canine Services. So, Karen, before you tell us about the work you do with dogs currently, give us a little background on yourself and your history with dogs.
Well, it's actually a really long history. So it started growing up with dogs in my family, and I just loved my dogs. And I have actually not been without a dog in my family ever since, and have had as many as 7 dogs at a time in my family.
Wow.
Yeah. Right now, my husband and I have 3, and they're all rescue dogs. And 2 of them did work with Environmental Canine Services. So, when I was a little bit older, I decided I wanted to do some dog training. And I had gone to dog training classes with my own dogs and trained, and I thought that was really fun. So I joined up with a local dog training organization and started doing training with them and became pretty proficient at it, and went on to do training for 4-H kids with their dogs. Then I got involved in the first time with scenting dogs through a sport called Schutzhund sport. It's a German sport that is really considered the test of the breed of like German shepherds. That are supposed to be able to be good obedience dogs, good dogs that can track scents, and good protection dogs. So I did Schutzhundsport for quite a few years and with my own dog, and competed in trials and learned a lot about the German Shepherd and about dogs' obedience, scenting, and protection abilities from that, and their natural raw instincts. So that really taught me a lot, and I enjoyed doing that. Then I kind of got dived headfirst, I guess you could say, into a really big scenting dog thing, which is search and rescue, canine search and rescue. And that happened because I live near Oklahoma City when the 1995 bombing occurred. I could actually see the smoke of it from my house. And at that time, I was doing a lot of dog training locally and in Oklahoma City. And I was contacted by some of the people that knew of my dog training there. And they asked me to help co-found with them an Oklahoma City canine dog search and rescue organization. There hadn't been one, and there had only been a small canine search and rescue organization in Tulsa that could even respond to the bombing. So we wanted to make this one a very comprehensive search and rescue team. So I did join them. I had my own search and rescue dogs for air scent lost persons and tracking through scenting lost persons. And also I had a human remains detection dog. So I learned even more about dog skills through doing that. And I became the head trainer and actually also the president of that organization. So I worked with training dogs to do search and rescue along with their handlers. So my husband was also a search and rescue handler, and we met doing that. So we
both, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we both had extensive backgrounds with this, and ended up doing it together with this organization in Oklahoma City for quite a few years. And then we moved out from Oklahoma City to Michigan for my husband to complete his bachelor's degree in environmental studies and applications. So he did that because he was very interested in the environment, especially the water. He grew up on a lake, and he really, you know, loved the water and wanted to protect its quality. So after he graduated, he became an employee of an environmental engineering company where he was doing water quality work by trying to find and source track sewage discharges that were getting into our waterways. And I will need to tell you more about that, but I'll catch up with that in just a second. So when he did this, he was doing it in a traditional ways, which meant collecting water samples out in the environment and in drains, open drains, city stormwater systems, whatnot. You had to send them to the lab to be tested for bacteria that is in sewage, such as E. coli, that can have lots of human pathogens in it. And then he'd have to wait for the results to come back. Then he'd have to go back out and start trying to source track where this was coming from. Could be miles away. And to source track, he still had to keep taking samples over and over. You know, it was a very labor intensive and tedious and long process. Well, his supervisor knew his background in dog training and said to him, "Do you think you could train a dog to send out these sewage discharges quicker and better than we can do it as humans?" And Scott said, "Of course." So he made it so. And we actually got our first sewage illicit discharge detection dog. That's what we call them, sewage illicit discharge detection dogs. We got him, his name is Fable, from an animal shelter. And he had all the qualities we were looking for. And he actually ended up being the first dog in the world that we know of to ever do this. And he was so successful with doing this that Scott and I decided to start our own company and just do that for people all over the country. And everybody has water quality issues, especially communities on the coasts and on lakes. So we did that, and I started training a second dog, Logan, who we also rescued. And the two of them were the greatest dog team for us. We traveled all around the United States with them doing our work with illicit sewage discharge detection and being extremely successful. Sable is still with us. He is now 15 and a half years old. I think he gave us like 13 years of service and just was amazing. And Logan passed away a couple of years ago, but he gave us about 10 years of service. And both of these dogs are amazing pets. So they're able to be loving, amazing pets and go and do this work. So they're just very, very special.
So you started the company then roughly 13 years ago?
It was actually 11 years ago.
11 years ago.
Yes. And okay. We worked for a couple of years with Scott in that engineering company.
Oh, right. Okay. You said that most places have water issues, especially if they're by a water source. But is it always sewage related, these issues?
No, there can be all different kinds of water pollution. It just so happens that, I mean, there can be chemicals, different kinds of pesticides, chemicals from industrial companies, you know, things like that, that get into the water. But sewage happens to be one of the most common things that pollutes water with pathogens. And those pathogens are very, very hazardous to human health. So it affects people that swim, boat, fish in water, recreation on the beaches. Beaches get closed because of E. coli contamination in the water. So it is a very big problem. And the reason is because sewer systems are getting old. They're not getting any younger, especially on the East Coast, which is where we are now. There is a lot of aging sewage infrastructure. And so lines are cracking and breaking and leaking. And they leak into places like stormwater systems that aren't supposed to carry sewage, because sewage is supposed to go to wastewater treatment plants. And stormwater from rain is supposed to go out to our surface waters. Well, sometimes you get this cross-contamination going where the sewage has infiltrated the stormwater pipes and goes straight out to our surface waters. So it's a very, very important issue.
So then what's the process for how and when you all get involved? Does somebody report a few cases of E. coli to a city or something, and then they start an investigation, or how does it work?
Well, actually, pretty much all really, really large cities, like some places we've worked, Washington, D.C., Orlando, Florida, Denver, Colorado, they actually are under guidelines by the EPA and their own state environmental protection agencies to have clean water because of the Clean Water Act. And so they have to monitor their water quality. They have found pathogens like E. coli, bacteria like E. coli that have pathogens. They find sometimes that those are in the discharges to their surface waters. And then they need to find the source and take care of it.
So, and then they call
And then they call us up sometimes if they've heard of us. But it's also other people do this as well. We have worked for environmental protection agencies, state agencies that are monitoring the cities and other places for water quality. And we've also worked for environmental organizations such as Clean Ocean Action. That are also taking part in making sure that the water along their beaches, pretty much on the West Coast, is clean and that they're able to, people are able to do everything they want to do in a waterway, and they monitor rivers and lakes and the ocean there. So we've worked with just a whole variety of clients that need us. Indian tribes for their Indian tribal waters. Are regulated and so a lot of people need this, and are those that believe in dogs and love dogs and know what they can do are the ones that call us.
But then how does the dog help? I mean, how does it work practically? What are the steps?
Well, okay. So I've talked a little bit about how the stormwater system and the sewage system works in cities. wherever there is a system. There's also septic issues. So many people are on septic systems that live around water, especially around old lakes and whatnot. And those septic systems can get faulty after a number of years if they're not well maintained and they need to be replaced after a certain time. And if they aren't, they'll start leaking sewage into the ground. And the sewage, like water underground, finds the path of least resistance, which usually ends up leading to a nearby waterway. And it trickles into the waterways. It could be a stream, could be a river, could be a lake. If it's a stream or a river, sometimes it'll eventually end up flowing out to the ocean. So these are the places we work. So I'll just give you the picture of the totality of the types of environments we work in. For large cities, small cities, medium cities, we work in all sorts of places, in all sorts of environments. We work along shorelines, along riverbanks, in the cities, in street traffic, which was really fun in Washington, D.C. We had to have a lot of safety control while our dogs went there, because what they do in the cities, for example, when the storm water system has been found by the city to be contaminated in certain spots, is we'll have our dogs scent the water where it's discharging, on its final discharge, and see if there is any sewage scent there. So they're trained to detect sewage, not the pathogens themselves, but sewage. So they tell us if they have found it, and then we start going upstream through the stormwater system by pulling stormwater manholes that everybody sees those in the street, but probably don't know what they are. But it's what collects the rainwater through the grates in the streets, and it goes through that stormwater system and out to its body of water. So we have our dogs sniff what the manhole cover is lifted, and our dog sticks their head down a little bit into the manhole and sniffs the water that's flowing through it and tells us whether it's contaminated. And they keep doing that, going upstream, until all of a sudden they stop alerting to the presence of the sewage. So that means that the source is in between when they stopped alerting and when they last alerted. So then we can start narrowing it down and many times be able to actually see the source right there, which is often hard because it's underground, you know, but our dogs can lead us to it, and we can use cameras and things like that to confirm.
So this might be a TMI question, but when you're training them, do you just use samples from your own household, or like, how do you?
Well, we actually go to our friendly wastewater treatment plants in the cities we live in. And they are happy to give us as much sewage as we want. So we get this, what's called the sewage influent. So it hasn't been treated yet. It's just coming into the wastewater treatment plant, and it's from all over. So it can be coming in from households, from commercial buildings, from industrial sites. So our dogs are exposed to all sorts of different smells that are in that sewage, but they're picking out the scent of the actual sewage that's fecal related. And it, you know, it's quite variable in large communities because of different ethnic cultures and whatnot. So we get it from there. We also get septage to train on from people or ourselves when we have septic systems. We pull it from there and train the dogs on that too, just to make sure. It can sometimes be a little bit different scent for them coming from a septic system.
Yeah, it would seem hard to know exactly what, like, be able to pinpoint exactly what they're alerting on. Maybe kind of like HRD?
Yeah, exactly. It is very difficult. And people ask us all the time, you know, well, what are they alerting on? And we say, you know, we don't know. Because sewage has a lot of different components to it, but it's got to be things that have vapors. So, because that's typically how dogs detect scent, is through some kind of vapor. So it could be the ammonia in the water. It could be other things that break down in the sewage that emit gases and whatnot. So it's probably not the bacteria itself, but it could be. We don't know.
Now, you said that your dogs were rescues and they had the characteristics you were looking for. So what characteristics are those?
Well, pretty much what all other working dogs, you know, have to have, except a little bit more relaxed. We have found that our dogs aren't, I mean, what we do with them is more of a relaxed, I guess you could say, setting. They're not police dogs that have to be, you know, extremely concise and, you know, on the ball, you know, all the time and all that. So what we look for is really essentially a dog that has a great sense of smell and loves to use it. So they'll work all day long in order to get that reward from a ball or another toy or even food treats. A lot of our dogs work for treats. So they know that when they are successful and smell the right thing and tell us that they smelled it, then they're going to get their reward and they'll work all day for that. Also, they have to be physically fit, and their handlers do too, because we lock a lot of miles when we're trying to source track discharges. And we are walking through forests and along stream banks and up and down steep slopes. And, you know, so the dog and the handler has to be very physically fit.
Do you typically do at all in one day, or how long does a project take you?
Oh, it can vary depending on the scope of it. So if we're just working for, say, an environmental organization that just has this one spot they've been studying, you know, along the ocean that keeps getting high bacteria readings, you know, we may go out there for a day because it's just one isolated place and, you know, work our dogs along a stream river that goes out to the ocean and work them up there to see if we can find the source. Other times, like Washington, D.C., we worked for them for 2 weeks because they have a huge system, as you can imagine, and one very large part of their system was contaminated. So we had to find multiple sources there.
And how many dogs do you have that work?
Well, so we expanded our services beyond just Scott and my dogs early on in the process because people were just clamoring for it. So we brought on board teams and we made regional teams. So we had two dog and handler teams that we trained and certified under our own certification process that were in California. So they served the West Coast, and we had two dogs in the Midwest working out of Michigan, and then my husband and I were the handler teams, and we added one more for the East Coast. So we did at one time have, let's see, we had seven of these illicit discharge detection dogs with our company. Couple of them have retired since we started, but then some new ones have been added as well. So right now we have five.
Are there any breeds that are more common among your ranks?
Yes. Although we don't rule out, you know, many breeds except for the ones that have, you know, the pushed in face because they can't breathe as well when they're working, and they're not known to be great sniffers. And some dogs just aren't sniffers; they're sight oriented, like greyhounds. You know, they want to chase after the prey they see. So, So it's dogs that are of the working groups and herding groups, such as German Shepherds, Golden Retrievers, Labs, Belgian Malinois. We have a Belgian Malinois on our team, but we also have a little, or we had, she just retired, a little Jack Russell mix. Yeah. And she was super. Her nose was crazy. We use those types of breeds as long as their noses are really good and they love to work all day.
Are they mostly rescues?
Yes, most of them are rescues. Yes, we just had a couple of them that were specifically chosen from a good litter to be the working dogs, and they turned out excellent.
So with all of your other experience doing work with dogs in other contexts, how does this compare as far as job satisfaction for you?
Oh, goodness. This just is the best. This is the best. And I think the reason for it is, number one, we are doing this for a really, really good cause, for water quality that benefits everyone. And so that is really a cool thing to do, is to see your dog out there working and knowing that they're helping protect the water quality for people. It's also because where we work is so comprehensive. Every different environment and, that you can think of to work in, we get to see our dog's skills just grow by leaps and bounds. And we just are always amazed at some of the things that they are able to do. Some things just make your jaw drop, that you just didn't know. And you just have so much respect for the dogs and just love working with them.
What is your biggest challenge on the job?
I think maybe the biggest challenge is that there are a lot of people in this arena of, water quality that are fixed on old ideas that, this is that the traditional way of detecting bacteria in the water that's harmful, is the way to go, that it's the only way you can do it, and that they just don't understand or think that how could dogs help us, sort of thing. We've made a lot of inroads in that just by showing how they can help. But there's still a lot of people that in this industry that just don't understand how it could be beneficial.
Well, tell them to listen to this podcast and they'll start to get the idea after a while. So what, I ask this question a lot on this podcast, but I like to know what all the different guests think. Why do you think dogs make such good partners?
They make good partners for a lot of different things. I'll just say, speak to what, partners in this type of scenting, because the dogs that we have for this, they're very loyal. They're dogs that are, I guess you could say, born to do this kind of work. It's in their instincts to do it. And so they're ready, they're willing. And their loyalty makes them look to you, as a partner, as a team. They're not just out there, you're not just a dope on a rope, back from the dog. The dog is actively working with you as a team to figure out, the issue. I think it's just that, the teamwork. Just makes them, their ability to do that makes them great partners.
Well, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do so?
We have a website at ecsk9s.com. So www.ecsk9s.com.
We will put that in the show notes. Karen, thank you so much for being on the show today, and thank you for the great work you're doing with dogs.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the show today. If you enjoyed it, please consider subscribing on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or a number of other platforms. We're currently trying to determine the future of this show, and we would really appreciate your feedback. If you have a moment, we'd really appreciate it if you'd fill out our listener feedback survey. You can find a link to it in the show notes, or if you go to herobeside.me, click on the podcast button, you'll see a listener feedback survey button at the top of that next page. It only takes about 2 minutes to complete, and we would really appreciate it. As I mentioned earlier, I'm your host, Shauna T. I'm a professional photographer, and I'm currently working on a photography project about working dogs. If you would like information about this project, please visit herobeside.me and sign up for the newsletter. Again, that's herobeside.me. Thanks so much. See you next time.